the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for joining us today here on AgNet West Farm City Newsday. We're moving right along into today's program headlines, as we've got a lot packed into the program today. Brian German is talking with us about the efforts to maximize the value and efficacy of available drought assistance. We've also got details on a new emergency program to help rescue animals during disasters. And as we know here in California, the sale of chlorpyrifos stopped last year. Well, I'm starting off today's program with Farm Bureau expressing their disappointment in the Biden's EPA's national decision to ban chlorpyrifos. Let's jump right in. The Biden EPA decision to ban the use of chlorpyrifos widely used on crops is presenting a new challenge for soybean and specialty crop producers. American Farm Bureau's Sam Kiefer says producers must now turn to fewer, less effective, and more expensive pesticides.
For some crops like soybeans, there are some alternatives, but none of them have quite the broad spectrum of coverage as chlorpyrifos. There are other crops, many specialty crops, where there are no alternatives. And EPA says they're committed to work with the private sector to bring new chemistries to the market and get approval, but that is a lengthy process. We're talking years.
Chlorpyrifos has been proven effective even when other pesticides failed.
What this means is a very effective product is no longer available, and they need to utilize additional chemistries, and that might be one, two, or three products to replace the one that they used to use. And that could lead to higher cost. It could also lead to more difficulty of getting the job done. And there's a lot of variables when it comes to yields, but there could be a potential there as well.
According to the EPA, the ban is effective immediately. NAFB did contribute to this report. And now let's take a listen to these back-to-back reports with AgNet West's Brian German.
The California Cattle Council and Western United Dairies have partnered to help the dairy and cattle communities collectively address water issues within the industry. In her role of the newly formed position of Director of Sustainability, Aubrey Betancourt said that part of the mission of the new initiative is to foster communication between farmers and various support agencies.
That in turn then informs a lot of kind of the technical assistance side of this too, as we start looking at what are the solutions we have out there in the world, what are the things we need to be investing in our own local and regional and even macro infrastructure and resilience and economic and environmental prosperity, making sure that we're looking at policies and programs we have an environment that supports that, that is well informed, and that we're informing our members, at the state and federal level and at the local level, again, so that we have an environment that allows us to prepare for these challenges going forward and to not just survive a post-Sigma world, but be successful in a post-Sigma world. And lastly, it's through strategic partnerships. It's working with groups and building on existing relationships that a number of organizations have had with like sustainable conservation, NetFM USA, working everything from the technical side, but also into the science community and looking at how do we take these amazing pilot projects we've been doing for years and make them practice, which means eliminating barriers to access, making sure there's resources available, getting our producers to be able to have access to these new technologies on farm to develop their own resilience and to develop their own success.
The FDA has made adjustments to some of the protocols of its Salinas Valley lettuce sampling assignment. CEO of the California Leafy Greens Marketing Agreement, Tim York, explains that FDA was receptive to the two major industry concerns related to the sampling.
One was pre-notification when they would be coming and taking samples so that we could have lots available that were not yet in commerce. What you don't want to do is have product that's already out on trucks or even distributed within retail or food service, and then find out that a test is being conducted. You don't want to move product into commerce if you haven't the final test results. Otherwise, you're potentially instituting a recall and trying to pull all that product back. And that's obviously disruptive to the industry. It's expensive. And of course, it's disruptive to our customers. So pre-notification was the one change. The second change was that they're limiting what they're testing for to one strain of Salmonella and one strain of E. coli. It will reduce the number of false positives that they're potentially getting, or they refer to it as cannot rule out, which means they might have a positive and they need to do further investigation on it. And that takes several days up to a week. And so that's potentially a product that is not going to be harvested or put into commerce. So as I said, that was something that we strongly advocated for FDA to make those changes. And we appreciate the fact that they heard our voices.
I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Brian. And in more agriculture news, farm computer and tech use continues to grow. USDA's latest look at farm computer and technology use trends show a continued rise in several categories compared to 2 years ago. USDA's Rod Bain talks with National Agriculture Statistics Service Adam Peters in this report.
The latest trends in farm computer and technology usage reveal
nationally, 82% of farms have access to the internet. That was an increase of 7% over 2 years ago.
That according to Adam Peters of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. As far as how farmers use their computers, laptops, and smartphones,
we found 29% of farms using the internet to purchase agricultural inputs. And we saw that was an increase from 2019 to 5%.
In addition,
we found 21% of the farms use the internet to market their agricultural activities, which was an increase again of 2% over 2019.
The every other year survey also revealed that for 2021, half of internet connected farms utilized a broadband connection, while 70% had internet access through a cellular data plan. And for the first time, the survey measured how farmers use precision agricultural practices in their operations. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
It is time for us to head out for a quick break. We'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports, including our livestock report from Randall Wiseman, when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. With increasing water scarcity, ask Wild Eye's qualified staff about their simple, easy-to-install and use monitoring systems to help you keep track of your precious water resources and also be Sigma compliant. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. The University of Missouri announced a new website focused on regenerative agriculture topics. Regenerative agriculture has sparked considerable interest over the last few years, offering a toolbox of practices that aims to increase soil health, protect water quality, and enhance conservation approaches on farms. Major food and agriculture companies such as General Mills, Bayer, Walmart, Cargill, Corteva, PepsiCo, and even clothing companies like Wrangler have recently prioritized regenerative agriculture practices. The website aims to allow farmers, landowners, farm advisors, and even consumers to access a wider range of information on regenerative agriculture practices and concepts. Kelly Wilson of the Center for Regenerative Agriculture states, quote, "The new site offers resources for different levels of expertise so that different people can learn about practices and target outcomes associated with regenerative agriculture," unquote. Visit the website at cra.missouri.edu and sign up for the center's newsletter to receive monthly updates on what's happening in regenerative agriculture. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal, tossing it right on over to Randall Wiseman with today's livestock report.
Well, in today's livestock news, for a period of time, the COVID-19 pandemic really affected the in-person beef quality assurance or BQA trainings across the country. But according to National Cattlemen's Beef Association's Executive Director of Producer Education and Sustainability, Josh White, many producers took part in the online training.
The in-person definitely slowed down through COVID. I know a lot of states have opened up those in-person trainings again over the last 6 months. And, you know, you can always go to bqa.org, click the Get Certified button, and it will take you to either online or the contact information you need for the coordinator in your state that then can tell you about any in-person opportunities.
Obviously, it's a good program, and it's a program that continues to develop. You keep adding modules all the time, don't you?
That's right. Great call, Randall. We just added a biosecurity module, which we think is really important. In light of a human pandemic, our mind is all on how do we control disease. And so more and more it's important, especially with foreign animal disease threats we've seen in both poultry and swine. If that's not a wake-up call to the beef industry, it sure should be. So I would encourage producers to go online and check out. There's some new biosecurity templates that if you're pretty confident in filling that out yourself, you can jump right in and do that for your farm. Or if you'd like to have a hand held through the process, we have a module that will educate you on biosecurity and also walk you through how to fill out that template.
Of course, the interactive online BQA training course is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. White said there are various modules available for producers to take part in. If you'd like more information on how to become BQA certified or update your certification, go to bqa.org. And in other news, earlier this month it was announced that the June margin under the Dairy Margin Coverage or DMC program dropped 65 cents from May's margin to $6.24 per hundredweight. That'll generate a June payment of $3.26 for the $9.50 coverage. So dairy operators are getting the benefits of the DMC program this year. And according to a story from Gary Crawford, that may continue in 2022.
Because of the rising cost of feed compared to the prices for milk, the USDA's Dairy Margin Coverage Program has paid producers for 7 straight months now.
Yeah, and it's likely to continue.
USDA Outlook Board Chairman Mark Chekanowski says in general, milk and dairy product prices have not come up to previous expectations.
What we've been observing lately is just relatively weak demand for dairy products, high stocks, especially of butter, cheese as well.
So Mark and his team have reduced their price forecasts for dairy. Now for this year, they've cut their forecast for the all milk price by 35 cents a hundredweight to $17.95. Now for 2022, originally USDA had milk prices going a bit higher than $17.95, but not anymore.
We're forecasting $17.85 per hundredweight.
Lost another dime there. Yet next year's milk production expected to top this year by 3 billion pounds, or a bit over 1%. But feed prices could go up by 20 to 30%. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Thanks, Gary. And I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West.
Thanks, Randall. And sticking to livestock news, this year's milk prices are below expectations and they could go lower next year. Dairy operators are getting the benefits of the Dairy Margin Coverage Program this year, and they may continue to do so next year as well. USDA's Gary Crawford has comments from Mark Jekowanowski, USDA Outlook Board Chairman, in this report.
Because of the rising cost of feed compared to the prices for milk, the USDA's Dairy Margin Coverage Program has paid producers for 7 straight months now.
Yeah, and it's likely to continue.
Uh-oh, USDA Outlook Board Chairman Mark Chekanowski says in general, milk and dairy product prices have not come up to previous expectations.
What we've been observing lately is just relatively weak demand for dairy products, high stocks, especially of butter, but cheese as well. So that's hanging over the market.
So Mark and his team have reduced their price forecasts for dairy. Now for this year, they've cut their forecast for the all milk price by 35 cents a hundredweight to $17.95. Now for 2022, originally USDA had milk prices going a bit higher than $17.95, but not anymore.
We're forecasting $17.85 per hundredweight.
Lost another dime there. Yet next year's milk production expected to top this year by 3 billion pounds, or a bit over 1%. But feed prices could go up by 20 to 30%. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
And it's that time where we head out for a short break. We'll be right back with more of the day's agriculture news and farm features when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. With increasing water scarcity, ask Wild Eye's qualified staff about their simple, easy-to-install and use monitoring systems to help you keep track of your precious water resources and also be SGMA compliant. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture. Welcome back to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. We love spotlighting our friends over at the Vineyard Team, where associate winemaker at Alpha and Omega, Matt Breen, shares discoveries in the wine grape growing industry. Today, he chats with Kelly Mulville on how to design a vineyard for year-round sheep grazing.
For those of us in the industry, I don't think there's anyone that doesn't feel some pleasure when we drive by a vineyard and we see animals out there grazing. You know, whenever we can get biology to do the work of machines or do the work of chemistry, we're really moving in the right direction with regards to sustainainability. So exciting for us to talk a little bit about that today. Kelly, thank you for joining us to talk a little bit about grazing in the vineyard, but even more specifically, setting our vineyard up for success with regards to grazing at some point in the future. So Kelly, can you start us off by telling us a little bit about yourself, where you work, and how you got interested in this topic?
Thanks for having me on this podcast. I am at Piscinas Ranch, which is in San Benito County, just south of Hollister, California. Mm-hmm. And I was actually hired here to put in a vineyard that can be grazed specifically throughout the year. So this is something I've been working on for over 10 years now. My background is both in wine growing and also in livestock. Spent a lot of years working with ranchers throughout the West. Was really impressed with how these ranchers could restore ecosystem health using livestock. So yeah. When I got into growing grapes, I kept thinking, and the first vineyard I put in was in Arizona, Southeast Arizona. I came out to California to kind of get a better hand on what was going on with vineyard management and wine growing, and was really blown away by looking at cover crops and saying, wow, what a great forage opportunity for livestock. I've been messing around with that idea for 20 years now. And one of the things, like a lot of people, I got started grazing vineyards during the dormant season of the vines sheep really love to eat vines. And one of the things that kept bouncing around in the back of my mind was, well, we've got to get sheep in the vineyard during the growing season, because that's when the best opportunity is. If you look at all the vegetation growth, either in Arizona where I started or in California, it's basically either in California's case, it's in the springtime, and in Arizona, it was in the summer. So looking at all that vegetation and how we typically manage that was an incredible lost opportunity. And so I messed around with a couple ideas and ended up trying an offset system, electrified wires in a vineyard. That worked really well in keeping the sheep off the vines and allowing me to do a trial grazing of a vineyard throughout the growing season. That was actually in Sonoma County in about 2010 or so. Mm-hmm. And based off of that, the success of that, I wrote an article ended up getting published in Australia and New Zealand Grape Grower Winemaker. Consequently, most of the interest in this, my initial work, was in the Southern Hemisphere. And the first commercial vineyard that I got established using that system was in Australia.
Are they ahead of us there? Have they been practicing this more commonly than here in California?
Not so much, but they're a lot more open-minded than us. For instance, when I wrote that article, it was rejected by every viticulture magazine in this country.
Got it.
It was put in the next issue of Australia, New Zealand Grape Grower Winemaker. And it was interesting because the publisher, I talked to the publisher and I said, you know,
why did you put this in? It was rejected by all the viticulture magazines in this country. And they said, A, because it was a great article, it was a great idea, and you didn't present it as a scientific study, you presented it as a trial.
Right.
And so you weren't making scientific statements. You weren't saying, I've got a bunch of data to verify this. And yep. She said, and we've had incredible droughts here. We're looking at all of our options. Now we're in that position. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a good time for all of us to really wake up and look at how we can go forward with farming in general, but in particular viticulture, in ways that can allow us to conserve water, to be resilient in the face of climate change.
Yeah, totally agree. So just backing this up for a moment, maybe for some of our less technical listeners, and it's pretty obvious for me, but let's talk a little bit real quickly about why it is a bit dangerous to have grazing going on during the growing season. And then I would love to segue into a little bit about how you overcame that challenge.
Sure. Well, it might not be coincidence that vine and ovine are very closely related. Sheep really like grape leaves.
Yeah.
And I've used sheep, a large flock of sheep, to actually remove most of the vegetation in a vineyard, all of the grapevines, before it was taken out. Hmm. So they can be pretty voracious eaters of grape leaves.
Yeah.
So that is why we tend to not graze during the summer, because they will just they will take down a vineyard pretty quick. In places like New Zealand, they have used sheep, and even here I've heard of this, where you run them through quickly during the summer, specifically to remove leaves, so yeah, to do the leaf pulling for you. But otherwise, you don't want to leave them in there for too long, or they will take out the leaves. Mm-hmm. The idea that I was thinking of was, well, how do we get them to remove the things that we don't need, for instance, suckers, dipping, things like that, but leave what we want. So that's why we don't graze during the summer, just because they will take down a vineyard.
Yeah, they sure will. And you know, there's really two specific challenges that I can think of that I would love to discuss with you. And number one is just getting these grazing animals into our vineyard. Obviously, the timing is important. Obviously, containment is important. You know, obviously, understanding the history of spray or anything that could potentially damage, you know, hurt the animal would really need to be conceptualized. So bringing grazing animals into an established vineyard, obviously a big challenge. But if you want to set up your vineyard in order for the grazing animals to be there all year, you've got a whole separate set of challenges. And I'm sure there's some infrastructure differences and planning differences that need to be really thought out well ahead of time. So let's talk a little bit about that. I bet you've got experience on both of these sides now.
I do. Yep. So one of the reasons I ended up here at Piscinas was not so much so that we could set up a vineyard, an existing vineyard. Historically, there were 1,000 acres of vineyards on this ranch.
Yeah.
There were none on here when I started working 7 years ago. It wasn't a modification job. It was, and the reason the owner wanted me to work here and set this up was so that we could create a design of a vineyard specifically so that we could graze it year round. My thought in that was to, first thing, get the vines higher, get them out of reach of the sheep. And initially, I thought about using something kind of mimicking the dry on the vine raisins that they use in the Central Valley. Sure. But I'm on a hillside, and so those tend to work a lot better on flat ground. If you've ever seen the trellis infrastructure on those, it's pretty substantial. My big inspiration actually came from seeing a slide that Fritz Westover, who used to be with the vineyard team, showed in a presentation of the Watson system being used in Texas. I grew up in Texas, so I can make fun of Texans, but I never thought I'd get a viticultural innovation from Texas, and I did.
Well, we've had one big one in the past, this whole rootstock thing, but it's so good to see another one coming out of there.
Right, yeah.
This was just a portion of this episode. If you'd like to take a listen to the full conversation, visit vineyardteam.org. Right now, it's time for us to head out for a short break. We'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. With increasing water scarcity, ask Wild Eye's qualified staff about their simple, easy-to-install and use monitoring systems to help you keep track of your precious water resources and also be SGMA compliant. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. The AgriSafe Network recently launched a new website focused on health topics for farmers and ranchers. The website integrates AgriSafe's learning management system that includes fact sheets, webinars, and safety information for health professionals with health topics. The health topics page of the website is designed to help farmers and ranchers navigate occupational risks and serves as trusted and reliable information on health and safety issues. Additionally, the website includes a learning opportunities section, which features content produced by AgriSafe for health and safety professionals and rural healthcare providers. An AgriSafe spokesperson says, quote, "This new space serves as a hub for people working in agriculture to find specific information to their needs," unquote. Agriculture ranks among the most hazardous industries, according to the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. AgriSafe represents health and safety professionals who strive to reduce health disparities found among the agricultural community. For more information, visit www.agrisafe.org. Farm Journal acquired the International United Pork Americas Conference and Trade Show. For the past two decades, more than 150,000 international swine producers, veterinarians, and industry stakeholders have experienced the event, Pork Expo Brazil. An extension of Pork Expo Brazil, the United Pork Americas Conference, is set for April 19th through the 21st, 2022, at the Hyatt Regency in Orlando, Florida. Farm Journal's Cliff Becker states, quote, "We are excited to invest in the tools that pork industry stakeholders need to prosper in an ever-increasing global environment," unquote. The United Pork Americas Conference will feature an educational component with more than 50 internationally renowned speakers and sessions to provide educational opportunities for swine producers, veterinarians, and industry stakeholders. It also will feature more than 28,000 square feet of expo space, where domestic and international swine companies will have booths in an expansive trade show format to bring applicable information and resources to every facet of the pork production system. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. And now for more local news, here's Brian German.
A new state program will be able to better respond to emergencies and provide care for household animals and livestock. The new California Veterinary Emergency Team will be administered by the UC Davis School of Veterinary Medicine. Through the program, a network of government agencies, organizations, and individuals will be trained to provide care for domestic animals and livestock during emergencies. The state will be providing $3 million a year for the program through legislation that was included in the state budget. In a news release, former dean and distinguished professor at the School of Veterinary Medicine, Michael Lairmore, said the funding support for the CVET program will provide unprecedented resources to help bring together multiple partners from across the state. The team will work to recruit and train volunteers and veterinarians on the best practices for shelter and emergency medicine. CVET will operate under a memorandum of understanding with the California Department of Food and Agriculture and the Office of Emergency Services. It will take some time to fully develop the new emergency team. CVET will remain in the planning phase for the current fire season, with expectations for the team to be available to deploy beginning next year. Once the emergency team is fully developed, it will become available to respond to disasters anywhere in the state. I'm Brian German for Agnet West Radio Network.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit Agnet West online at agnetwest.com. Get even more connected by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching at Agnet West. and our team of Brian German at Brian German Agnet West and Danielle Leal with at D Leal Agnet West. This has been Farm City Newsday by Agnet West.